Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
BestEgg.com. How about your finances? You look at them and scream. You're in debt? You don't want to be in debt. Unexpected repairs, replace the washer and dryer, medical bills, high interest credit cards. Let's not use that to pay for all these things. They're called high interest credit cards. That means you're paying high interest. Here's a smart move. A fixed rate personal loan at BestEgg.com. The rates are great right now. Consumers rate BestEgg a 4.8 out of 5 stars on Consumer Affairs. So you know the people have spoken. They are good. Easy online application takes about a minute with no impact to your credit score. Upon approval, funds can be deposited in as little as one business day. BestEgg.com. Right, Dawson?
Get your bills under control, bank what you save, and take control of your finances with a loan from BestEgg.com. Visit BestEgg.com/Adam. That's BestEgg.com/Adam. BestEgg.com/Adam.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Summer's here, and the time is right for dancing on the beach. Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand. June 1st, Sea Legs, Bolsa Chica State Beach, California. Bands in the Sand. This year, we get the let out. More info at adamcarolla.com. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Larry Miller, and author Tony Price. With Gina Gratt on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and we're driving to Florida with the hypothetical road trip game. And now, featuring Yoko Ono on vocals, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The judge better get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for listening, and thanks for hitting that little share button on your phone and spreading the good news. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, man. Sup?
Larry Miller in studio.
I like that it's polite applause.
Trying to narrow down the hypothetical road trip game to play with Larry Miller. It was a
game, Adam?
Oh, no, sorry.
Let's just start with that, all right?
Yes. I'll call it a religious pilgrimage.
Yes.
It's not a game.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Sure.
Religious pilgrimage.
There was a time in a few months when I was going to ask to be called Your Grace on the show.
Yeah. Well, you may reclaim that mantle. I had an embarrassment of riches. I had a guy who walks, woman who breathes, but we've been narrowed it down a little bit to some of the better stuff.
Guy who blinks twice?
Yeah, guy.
Tries to the wall.
Guy with oily T-zone who over-moisturizes. Yes, we should pick some of the rejected ones just for fun, but we won't do that. But as I've said to Mike August a few times, remember I'm a comedian and not a family member. Oh. And so the stuff must reach a certain level Otherwise, it probably will be rejected. So we've sifted through the nominees. We found some really strong stuff for you, and the pilgrimage shall begin shortly. First, I want to say thanks to our sponsors for this half of the show, bestegg.com/Adam, medmen.com, enter Adam Carolla, and Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong, Maximum Engine Performance. We're getting into it yesterday with Rob Schneider, and Larry Miller's been a part of many great movies, and also moments ago I was in here doing a Take a Knee with Erwin Winkler, who's the producer. He's the guy behind Rocky. He's the guy behind Creed. He's the guy behind Goodfellas. He's the guy.
How old is Erwin Winkler?
He's 87.
Wow.
He's going strong. Every movie you've ever heard of that you've loved, he was there for. He's telling me stories of young Sylvester Stallone coming into his office and saying, him saying, you're not right for this role, and him going, Stallone going, well, I write as well. I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. And him going, okay, let me see what you got. And he sends him a script, not Rocky, right. Something else. And Erwin is
staying alive.
Erwin,
<yeah. laughs> get out of my office.
Erwin, that's why. Erwin is like, okay, I can see this guy's got, like, he's got writing chops. And then later on, he hits him with Rocky. And then Erwin is like, I like this script. And he's like, and then Stallone says to him, don't pay me. You don't need to, but I want to star in it. That's, you know, as legend has it, that's the story. But now the guy who was sitting in the office telling me the story. So he's saying, don't pay me. I want to be a part of this. And he says, okay. And then later on, Erwin takes it to, you know, Warner Brothers or whatever, Fox or whatever the company was. And they love the script. And now they want to make it. And, of course, they don't want Stallone to star in it. So they go, we'll give him $250,000 for the script. This is 1975.
You're tough to walk away from.
I said, buy the biggest house in Encino for $250,000 in 1975. I'm not kidding. You could buy three medium-sized valley houses in 1970. The house I lived in with my dad, he paid like $13,000 for it in 1970. No, it was a pile of crap. But my friends who had nice houses were living in $70,000 houses. This is Stallone's living in an apartment. He's offered $250,000 when, you know, a brand new Corvette is $9,000. He's offered $250,000 and he says, no, I'm starring in this. I take no money. That was our deal.
Bet on himself.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yes.
Yes, he did. So
I'm looking at a list of movies that he's produced, Erwin Winkler. Astounding. He's been nominated for Best Picture as a producer three times, Raging Bull, Goodfellas, and The Right Stuff. But that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Telling a story, another story. It's all, I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but it's all just kind of rushing in my head because I talked to him 45 minutes ago. Explaining to me that when he was working on a gangster movie, The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, which I confused embarrassingly for The Apple Dumpling Gang, which is a Don Knotts Disney movie, which probably came out the same year. And he's telling me that
both had gang in the title.
God, find out what years both those movies came out, Max. But
oh, sorry, Rocky, Raging Bull, The Right Stuff.
71 and 75.
Oh, 70, 71. Which one was which? 71? Which one was 71?
71 was the gang. The gang couldn't shoot straight.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I'll tell you about another movie from 1975 in a second that I was thinking about when I got home. But anyway, now Erwin is telling me about this, and he's explaining that he gets Al Pacino for The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, and they're going into rehearsals. They're pitching... I guess it was...
But she was a huge star. Oh, no, sorry. It was just about to be a huge star at that point.
They're pitching Coppola to direct The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, and Erwin doesn't want him because he's made a couple of films. He's made like a musical and another film, but he's not made The Godfather. He's not made a gangster film. It's pre-Godfather. Mm-hmm. He's done a couple of films. I think one a musical and one a whatever. And Erwin doesn't like those films that much. So he goes, no to my gangster film, my mob film.
Right. What does he know about it?
Pacino in rehearsal goes, you know what? I'm not going to do this film. Coppola's doing a film called The Godfather, and I'm going to go do that with him. And Irwin's like, it's your poison, you know. You made your bed. Have fun. And
I'll never hear that name again.
That's how that one turned out. Now, look, it's impossible that you don't have 80 of those stories in your career if this is what you do.
That's a good one.
Also, told me, like, when the movie The Right Stuff came out, he liked to go by the theater on a Friday night to see how the lines mm-hmm. were doing, you know, out to Westwood or Hollywood, Century City, what have you. And he, like, went to the one in Hollywood, and there was no line out front. And he was like, oh, there's probably such a big line that the guy owns the theater, like, let him in early. And turns out, no lines. Nobody went. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. It ended up being a real critical success and blah, blah, blah later. But right. It came out, it flopped.
Wow.
One of his favorite, that's like one of his favorite movies. It said it was a total flop.
I saw it in the theater.
That's a place we should all hope to get to in our careers, where we can look back on our failures and laugh. Like, yeah, it didn't work.
Because it all came out of the wash for
Irwin. You've done so much. Yeah, better. Yeah, exactly. Because you've got so many successes.
It'll air this Monday if you guys want to subscribe and check it out. Also,
correct the record for Best Picture nominations as producer.
Name, just rattle off some of his stuff.
Rocky, Right Stuff, Goodfellas, and
but just his IMDb in general.
Oh God,
I'll give you a minute. So,
well, like you said, Creed and Creed 2. He's still going strong. He's still going strong. Yeah.
Oh, I had this conversation with him. So he's 87 years old. So I sort of made the mistake of going, so are you like semi-retired? Or are you getting out to the set, you know? And he's like, I've got a movie coming out in November called The Irishman. And
very anticipated.
And he's like, and it's got De Niro and it's got
Pacino. And Pesci.
And
Keitel.
And Keitel. It's got them all.
On Netflix. This is a big release.
It's awesome. Being theaters and on Netflix, according to him. But
probably so he can be Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
So it's coming out, dropping right in the middle of Oscar season. And something I've been seeing a lot in movies, and I've been seeing it in like cartoon, stupid movies, like, you know, comic book movies. But the aging thing, we're going to have them at 25. Mm-hmm. We're going to have them at 40. We're going to have them at 60. Right. We're going to have the same actors all the way through, you know, 30, 40-year span in the movie. And I was like, oh, this guy's knee-deep in it right now. I mean, he's 87 years old, and he's looking forward to November. My dad is looking forward. My dad's 87. He's looking forward to November 1966. He had all his hair. He's looking forward. He can't wait till November when this thing drops.
Oh, that's great.
He loves it. Maybe. I said to him, look, let me paint an analogy for you and you tell me. I said, is it done? Have you seen it? He's like, yes, I've seen it. It's done. There's still some CGI aging stuff to work on. I said, okay, well, let me make this statement. Tell me if you think it's fair. I'm sort of a car expert. I know a lot about cars. So if I went out and looked at a car, I saw the car, I kicked some tires, I popped the hood, I sat in the car, and then I came back and I said, this is a good car. You wouldn't need to go, well, I haven't seen it, or I want to sit in it, or anything. You just go, I just said it was a good car. I'm a car expert. I've built a lot of cars. I've driven a lot of cars. And then you would take that and you would listen.
Vetted.
I said, you have done Raging Bull. You have done Goodfellas. You have done all of these movies. Where's The Irishman rank? And he's like, it's good. It's right there. It's right there.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Well, I believe him.
I'm psyched to see it.
Yeah.
Me too. So, guys, 87 years old, and that's what he does. He just keeps doing
it. God bless. We should all be so lucky.
Yep.
We should all be so lucky now.
I was going to say, not 87 now.
My dad was a criminal defense lawyer, and he had a group, a gang. Not gang the way we think of it now, but gang like from the 50s and 60s where they wear lighter colored suits and black shirts and a gray tie.
They stood around singing around like a burning fire, trash can.
Yeah. Take it back.
They called the boss boss.
Take it back.
That's how old fashioned they were. And they had these, you know, they had these voices like, "Hey, boss!" And that's who they were. But he called them the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's great.
Because they never killed anyone, number one. And they were known for that.
They tried. God, did they try.
They tried everything. You know what? They got the inside information on a truckload of platinum that was being moved. And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they invested $80,000 of their own money in phony trucks with decals and uniforms, and they rehearsed and practiced. They did everything that they had never done before, and they did it. They pulled it off perfectly, but it turns out it wasn't a truckload of platinum. It was a truckload of nickel, which was worth just less than what they put into it to steal it.
In the red, just a little.
They couldn't. And this, all they had was the ride into the sunset. "My brother, I thought it was your brother." "Oh, shut up. You're not an idiot. He's the idiot." And that's the way they were, riding into the sunset. Never killed anyone, but never made anything.
Literally didn't make a nickel.
And right. On the movie front, on the theme of movies, and we'll get into the hypothetical. Hypothetical road trip. I also have rejected hypothetical road trip.
Ah.
Oh.
Awesome. Offerings.
Double whammy.
Well.
These are the mundane, ordinary people you might want to drive cross country with.
Might be pleasant.
Might be you or me.
Chick, I'll give you just one of the rejected hypotheticals. Larry, there is literally no winner in this one.
Girl who really enjoys coffee.
Chick who practices calligraphy.
Okay, probably not.
But see, here's my thing. I don't know who that person is, although I tend to like her. I feel like she's a little more precision. She'd be quiet.
Yeah. And fine motor skills.
Dylan originally had it as chick who is passionate about calligraphy. Does that change it at all?
Yeah, because practice is, by the way, if you say practice is anything that's the mandolin, it's good that somebody is a little bit folk. I have a daughter. I hope she practices calligraphy. Good, off list. See what I'm saying? Like if you say the neighbor in your apartment building, the guy would make all the horrible noises.
That's my guy.
Do you wish that guy practiced calligraphy instead of bugged you?
That'd be nice.
Okay,
yes.
Off the list.
All right, okay. I go to Florida. Yeah.
By the way, just for information's sake, there aren't two people in the studio who know what the word calligraphy means.
That's probably true.
Now, then there's another one, which is guy who puts mustard on his eggs. And I said, is that a thing? And they said, no.
Random isn't funny.
It's got to be a thing. Yeah. It can't just be, you can't make up weird stuff. Yeah. Yes, I probably wouldn't like the guy who puts mustard on his eggs. But all the ones we use is, as I said, guy pulls ponytail through hole in the back of the cap.
That's a thing.
You have to see it. Yes.
This is Puppy Monkey Baby. Remember Puppy Monkey Baby?
Yes.
It's so random. It's so funny. It's so weird sounding.
Can't
Puppy
stop
Monkey
thinking
Baby.
About it.
Mustard on the eggs.
Puppy Monkey Baby. That's a good one for next time.
That's right.
All right. We'll do more real ones. Actual.
Rejected ones.
We'll do more actual hypotheticals. Real world hypotheticals and then rejected hypotheticals as well. So we're in here with Rob Schneider and we're talking about all these movies from our past. And I always remember seeing Aloha, Bobby and Rose, which is the world's worst, the things we would endure. Like, so here's the thing. And I had another thought, which is when my son's 12, when I was 11 or 12, I saw Aloha, Bobby and Rose, because the plan was when we were young, I believe even the young Gina will agree with this, they had candied cigarettes because you saw adults smoking cigarettes and you wanted to be an adult.
Sure.
And so
powdered sugar out in the world.
So the whole plan with me when I was 11 is I wanted to see a movie that was made for adults because that was the goal. The goal was to get pulled up. Now it's all Captain This and you know, Avengers and all this. Now the adults watch. I go with a 12-year-old to watch a movie that's made for 9-year-olds. That's the new world order. But it used to be I was watching Pepillon and movies like that when I was 10 years old because the plan was I get to see an adult movie.
Right.
See, my kids, the entire universe has been bent around them. Mm-hmm. Their thing is I don't see an adult movie. A kid's movie is served up in front of me. And when you go to a steakhouse, we play kids' music. And we go to the mall, mm-hmm. we play Katy Perry. And it's like, the world must transform for me. If I was a kid and you went to a steakhouse, you just sit there and watch guys in sport coats drink scotch. And that's what you did. You didn't go over to the TV set and go, I don't know if you guys are watching this bowling, but put it on Nickelodeon. No, no. We're watching bowling. And we're smoking. And we're blowing it in your face. And if you want a little nip off the cutting shark, I won't tell mommy. Because that's the world. And that was a big deal for you. Like, oh, Danny, let me have a little nip off his cutty shark, whatever. Now the world has come to them. Yep. So my son and daughter see zero movies that are made for us in the theater because they don't have to. Why would they?
The biggest movies in the world are made for them.
There's a long queue of things for them to see. I watched Aloha, Bobby and Rose when I was my son's age. I was actually 10 or 11 when I saw it at the theater, also because it was at the theater and you're going to the theater and the theater's got air conditioning. So how bad could it be? So I then went back last night and I pulled up the trailer just to watch it on my computer just to go, what was I missing something? And I thought, I got to share you guys this trailer and think, I just want you to picture my son's face sitting through 2 hours of this.
Okay.
It didn't even have a plot. Like, I didn't know what it was. It was also, by the way, when you could go in and pitch a movie and they'd go, what's the movie about? And you'd go, the guy drives a souped up Dodge Charger. And you go, okay, what's the movie? Or it could be a Camaro.
I just told you.
I believe I just mentioned it.
What are the plot points? He hauls ass in this car, man. That thing's got a...
There's no plot.
It's got a Hemi. It's got a Hemi. Or it could be a big block, 427.
The movie Snakes on a Plane must have been the quickest pitch meeting in history.
Right.
What's it about? Well, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
Right.
You know the title, right?
The story of the movie.
What happens? Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, Snakes on a Plane.
Who's the adversary? Yeah.
So the third bill in every 70s movie was a car. And also, it was cool to see that guy done a burnout in his car. All right, sorry. Well, I'll play it for you, see if you can listen. Tell me what you think.
Paul LaMotte, the boy from American Graffiti, is Bobby.
Oh, the song.
He's got a 68 Camaro.
He's got a Camaro. He's driving around. Cops pull him over. Move along. Now I'm running from the cops.
Bold move.
What?
Identical cops.
Doing a donut. I'm 11. I have no idea what's going on.
Diana Jesus. Hull is Rose. She's got an urge to travel.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
One Saturday night, they became lovers.
The young Adam Carolla was confused.
In Hollywood, USA, home of the stars, baby.
Bobby and Rose, two California kids with a fantasy of paradise.
Take me to Hawaii.
Okay.
Can we drive there?
Let's go.
Aloha, Bobby and Rose. A new kind of love story. In the world of top 40. Zero to 60.
Guys doing it. Guys burning out in a funny car.
The music of some of the most important performers of our time.
That's true.
And two young lovers who become fugitives in a world that moves too fast.
Is this the trailer for Rocket Man?
There's nothing. Do you have any idea what this movie is?
No.
We got a kid. I can't walk out on him.
You're the one who wanted a wife.
Aloha.
Well, she can swim out.
And
she can't walk out.
Let's get a seat by a window, and you can watch the ocean sea, and maybe we can see Hawaii.
Aloha, Bobby and Rose.
That's the worst trailer I've ever seen. Look, this is my... Look. Right. Rocky's coming to the theater next month, and The Godfather's are. We've had a bunch of real movies that have come out. It's not like, well, you know, the vaudevillian days, and you know, everyone's in blackface. It was a different time. This is the 70s.
It was nonsensical.
They could have made him. Yeah. They have editing equipment. This is a major release. Like, this is a regular movie with people you recognize.
Oh, there's a budget, for sure.
You can't clear Elton John songs unless
multiple Elton John songs. Yeah.
What was that?
I feel like we just watched the whole movie and I still don't know what's going on. That was like a long trailer.
And who whacked that trailer together? Like, picture him going, oh, are they hash browns or are they cottage fries? Bobby and Rose eating at a diner. So hash brown, that would be grated, but the cottage fries cube? Is the grill shut? Bobby and Rose. What? Was it just like walking around?
It didn't make a ton of sense.
It was horrible.
They could show that trailer to prisoners who would yell, "Stop kissing."
I know.
It was that bad a trailer.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I paid money and I sat in a movie theater and watched
it.
Wow.
Wow.
Also, I don't know how to remedy this. And I may be the only guy. I'm bugged by many automotive things in the filmmaking world.
Oh, really?
But when they do a move, like, here's the deal. You drive that Camaro, go through the intersection, pull an e-brake, do a donut, whip it around, and shoot out the other direction. It's never one and done. It's a multiple take thing. Nobody ever nails that move. And if they do, they go, do it again. We'll move the cameras around the other side. But it leaves the burnout mark of the exact same shape of the thing you do. So as you're driving into it for the one they use in the movie, you see what the guy did moments earlier when they had closed off Ventura Boulevard and they were practicing or they were doing a couple of warm-up shoots.
You're the only other person on earth that would have noticed the coffee cup on the Game of Thrones set.
If you show that scene, Max Zapata, where at the beginning when he does the donut and the burnout, you will see as he's approaching the intersection, there's the skid marks of the donut going
from
through
the previous take.
Which means either this is a movie.
Or
there's some other hot rodder in the valley who's equally as skilled as you behind the wheel, thus less impressive.
You mean
which
donut
is probably
lane?
The answer.
Yeah, that's been done before at this intersection. Yeah. Recently.
By the way,
he's literally following in his steel-belted footsteps.
I think we can all agree that the trailer ends when they say, here's this guy. He's got a 68 Camaro. That's the end of the trailer.
Yeah, that's all you need.
End it right there.
Yeah. The end of the trailer.
I'll see that.
All right, go big on the screen, Max Zapata, and we'll see if we can stare at the ground of the intersection and see if you don't see that same shape.
As you pass, move along, move along.
It takes off. Cops do a great job of acting. What?
Huh? Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
There they are.
It's all over the white.
Yeah. All right.
Bother. Multiple times.
So this is what ruined the film for me in 1975.
Yeah. Other than that, it was very enjoyable.
Yes. All right. Hypothetical road trip to get into. Do you guys want to hear a few more losers? You like?
Yes.
Winners?
I want to hear a lot more.
Guy who can't finish full song on radio before changing it. Or full song without changing it. But I said, well, that guy doesn't like this song, but when he finds a song he does like, he would listen to his song. I would be the same guy, but if I ran into a John Hyatt song, I would sit and hear the whole thing, or Rocketman, or
Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer, John, sorry. Yeah, I would do it. So I don't know. I get it. This guy's annoying, but I don't know that he exists. You know what I'm saying? Don't you think he finds the song he likes?
Dylan made the great point that usually when you pitch jokes, the ones that aren't funny don't get airtime.
Now write that down.
Yeah.
Waiter who's asked you if you've eaten here before. Now my feeling is that's kind of the establishment.
Yeah, every waiter.
Or a lot of waiters. Or some waiters.
And would that come up in the car? How does that work?
I don't know how it translates into a guy you don't want to travel with. I said, first off, I'm not annoyed if somebody asked me if I've eaten here before. But secondly, I'm assuming the establishment says ask if you want and then you tell them. So that's just a guy who's
doing
executing his job.
Doesn't carry over a negative trait to
who he
car
is.
Driving.
Well, whether it's woman who practices calligraphy or this guy, his guy coming to your party, yeah? He's a waiter, okay. He works at a restaurant where they ask people if they've been here before.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't think you'd have strong thoughts about
turn out the lights.
He's a good worker is what I'd think of that.
All right.
I would have strong thoughts if the waiter in describing the food mentioned sun-dried tomatoes. There was a time in the 80s when everyone
sun-dried.
People
drove me nuts.
It was like you were literally, there was a time, it was February 1986, where you'd order some rosé wine, some pink blush.
White Zin.
You'd order some white Zin, and the waiter would take sun-dried tomatoes and grate them over the white Zin. Like that was February 1986. It was like white Zin and sun-dried tomatoes.
They peaked together
everywhere, like all the time. They're really a bad thing on a pizza, by the way.
Sour and sweet.
Terrible. Yeah. Sounds like
I would rather they sun-dried the waiter. And that I'll order.
All right, I'm going to play a game. There's one of these that was Dawson's offering.
All right.
Let's see. We got mustard on eggs. Guy who chews straw. I was like, well, if it's his straw, I don't care. Guy who brought hard-boiled eggs as a snack, which it smells weird, but I'm that guy. I don't.
In the car?
I don't like it in the... Well, I'm assuming... Here's what it is. This person can't be doing this in the car constantly. It's the guy you don't want to travel with. But
because
the whole key is the guy who's wearing all the turquoise jewelry...
It's an indicator of his lifestyle.
It's not that I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to get cut on the turquoise. It's like I don't want to travel with that guy, minus him traveling with the turquoise, right? So the hard-boiled egg, I agree, is not
pleasant.
Not good in the car, but it doesn't. I eat hard-boiled eggs, and I don't have a beef with myself or
what
Vinny
if,
or whoever.
Yeah. What if they put mustard on the hard-boiled
stop,
egg?
Chris, stop.
Now you're onto something.
Now, the good news is if we combined all the scores, we almost get to a 9. But the bad news is there's 13 of them. So, and
that is bad.
All right. But there is a Dawson offering here. And I'll give you a choice. Guy who just saw The Avengers or guy who watches Game of Thrones. I just went and saw The Avengers with my son last weekend.
That's most American.
Okay. I'll give it. It's A or B. Which one's Dawson's? That bitch on the 23andMe commercial who's related to George Washington.
Dawson.
That's Dawson.
Dawson.
Hold on. Think about it. Let me go back to the other one.
In the land of the blind, that one-eyed man is king.
Well, what about the chick who practices calligraphy? That's very Dawson-esque.
Yeah. That's also,
you're right, but we're splitting hairs here.
Nah, that feels very Dawson to me.
All right.
That's a compliment.
Larry, you want to weigh in?
No, I think I kind of agree with Gina. You know, in a second you go, oh, well, that's Dawson. You know, she says she's related to George Washington. You know what? That's the first time I've said, I don't care where she sleeps.
Sorry, but Gene and Brian, you guys are right.
Okay. You had me at that bitch.
Did he give you the other half of that one?
No.
I gave him the full one. Versus.
Oh, you paired him.
Versus the guy who claims he's Charles Manson's son and is trying to get the remains of his body.
I wouldn't want to travel with that guy. But
you're onto something.
There are no wrong answers.
Here's a guy you wouldn't want to travel with. Guy who just finished Ken Burns' doc series on baseball and needs to talk about it.
It's an excellent documentary.
So I feel like it's like Larry Miller's going to talk that guy's ear off.
I was going to say, this is a fun time.
All right. But don't worry. I told everyone to start doing my best, and then we've salvaged a few. So we got that working for us. All right.
I like Dawson's insight. Anyone who insists they're related to someone from history, like, did you know I'm a descendant of blah, 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 blah? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's someone you don't want to ride with.
Yeah.
She's such a bitch.
No,
she's bringing up about George Washington.
She must be a delight at parties.
Well, here's what it is to me. When it's like the people where they go, you know, I'm 128 Cherokee, and that's where I get my tenacity. And it's like, you're living in your mom's futon. Like, what? And it's in the kitchen, so you could be closer to the fridge. Like, what? What do you mean you get your tenacity? Like, whoever.
You adopt that trait of the famous person.
Yeah, but also, whatever it is I'm looking at, talking at, and evaluating, whether you're a distant Sir Walter Raleigh was a distant cousin, it just sort of makes your current situation sadder, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know
more
what
of a contrast.
It's not moving the needle.
Mm-hmm.
I was once in a movie with the star of the movie, and I don't want to say who it was because I don't want to embarrass him, but he and I went to one of the local bars one night, and we had a few drinks, and he said to me at one point, I'm 1/16th American Indian, and that's where I get my fierceness and my anger. And I said,
You actually had this happen to you.
What's that?
You actually had this happen to you, this exact scenario.
Quote, unquote. Uh-huh. But I said to him, you and I may never drink together again. I can't deal with you. You're 1/16th Arapaho?
Yes.
And this is where you get your anger? I said, you know, you almost hold your finger up and say, check, please.
Yeah.
That was Eddie Murphy.
Speaking of check, how about the 15/16th honky keep the 1/16th percent in line? Yeah. How about that? We're pretty good at that, right? We have a rich history of controlling you people.
Suppressing and oppressing, yeah.
All right. All now depressing. It's 15-1. I think this is pretty doable. All right. let me tell you about MedMen, then we'll go right into the hypothetical road trip. Did you know that a top reason people are using cannabis nowadays is for health and wellness? It's true. Mother's Day, you could get the traditional gifts or you give her the gift of relaxation at MedMen. You'll find quality cannabis and CBD products you can trust and an unparalleled experience you won't find anywhere else. Go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Give mom wellness this Mother's Day. Surprise her with a soothing bath bomb or a wide range of CBD products. Things are sweeping the nation, man. Available now at MedMen. Use the code Adam Carolla at checkout and you get 10% off. So get a little something for mom, get a little something for yourself at MedMen and check out with Adam Carolla, 10% off. Dawson.
Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
All right. Let me see if I can find the keepers. All right. I think I got my keepers. You ready? Yeah. Here we go.
It's the hypothetical road trip game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida.
All right. Here's a few that made the cut. You ready, Larry? Again.
Ready?
No. Yeah. No wrong answers. Riding shotgun to Epcot Center from the Santa Monica Pier. Woman from Pitbulls and Parolees. These shows where like they're all tatted up and they're all like,
you know,
I've seen commercials for it.
They're rescuing pit bulls, like they're pairing them with Parolees, right? Is that the
they're rehabilitating
or the right
each
one? All right, or old woman from British baking show.
Oh, wow. Every end of the spectrum.
It's an easy one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right off the bat, I would never ride with the old woman from a British baking show. I would have to strangle her by the time we hit Arizona. And I don't want to... I don't want to meet her. I don't want to see her. I don't want to have to say, no, there's just a layer of pastry. And here it is around your neck. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So it would always, always be the tattooed woman from Pitbulls and Parolees. At least I could say to her, look, I don't want to see it, but where else are the tattoos?
Sorry.
What? Oh, wow. Wait, that's a great answer.
That was a strong answer.
That's a terrific answer.
It was a confident answer.
At some point when you're leaving Arizona, she's got to her comfort level. She's probably brought a couple of those travelers, you know, little schnapps, peppermint schnapps travelers. She's nipping on that. It's in the night. Not sure what time it is. And she says, I rescue pit bulls. And then she pauses and she says, I wish someone could have rescued me from my stepfather, Ernest.
Oh, no.
And now you're like, we go. Here, now we get to the bottom of the tattoos and the rescuing.
And the parole.
The crazy molestation story starts. And what, you can't jump out of the car. It's so rude to turn up the radio when someone's telling a story of molestation.
Believe me, I tried.
It's round upon.
Throes of their Me Too movement. And you're turning up the radio. You can't. You just drive through the night. And you have to listen. You just have to listen.
You make a good point, but by the time we hit crossing a bridge, I could just kick her out the passenger door.
Oh, hasn't she suffered enough?
Apparently that's wrong.
All right, this is a tough one.
We can still pull out the victory here.
Alyssa Milano.
All right.
Or AOC. And Alyssa Milano is going to be recording her podcast the entire time.
That's a twist.
AOC is going to be doing selfie videos where she's like holding it up. Like I saw one.
She's live streaming the whole trip. Yeah.
She didn't know what an incinerator was. I think she didn't know what a garbage disposal was. The last one I saw, I thought it was weird. I don't care, but she didn't know what it was. She was talking to it. Hey, can we get the bar up higher than I've decided to make tacos tonight? So I'm going to film myself putting seasoning in ground beef. Like, okay, let's have it get to somewhere near interesting. Like, at least you do it naked or do a cannonball off your roof into an above ground pool and have the whole thing burst open. Like, let's have something other. Yeah. I'm in my kitchen. Hun, do you want a beer? No, thanks. He doesn't want a beer. Woo! Thank God we're rolling.
Videos of the mundane today.
Like, I get it. We recognize you, but nobody is that. If Mark Twain wanted to just stand in his kitchen and make eggs, I wouldn't go, I wish we were filming it. I'd go, he's making eggs. We'll let him write something, and then we'll read it. You know.
Well, remember the worst commercial of the Super Bowl this year was Andy Warhol eating a hamburger.
Yeah, right.
It was like,
right.
The mundane doesn't work.
These are worthy competitors.
Mm.
No, they're not.
Oh. I stand corrected.
I would drive forever across the country, back and forth.
Hold on, Max Pata. If you can find AOC in her garbage disposal, I'd be very curious about that. We'll see. And we might even have a little clip of Alyssa Milano explaining how...
how housekeeping works?
I think she's talking about how Trump was chasing women around with a pitchfork. Oh. Let's see.
I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to use it for.
The terrifying part's true.
What its purpose is.
Pandering.
Right.
Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
All right.
I don't like that.
Let's put her in charge of the solar farms and the windmills because she's on the leading edge of technology.
By the way,
Gina, hold on. Gina's bitch star is going fucking,
I don't like that,
hitting the red limiter. And she's not buying it.
This is somebody by all, you know, just from what I know about her, somebody I would root for, young and passionate and energetic and wants to make some changes. That's, guess what, people? That's who makes changes throughout history, and everybody hates them at the time. So I would love for her to do something good and be successful, and that's great. This is bullshit.
Yeah,
this is pandering, and I when you say stupid or liar, that's a liar, and that's not right.
Because either she's does not know what this is and she's too dumb to figure it out, or she's doesn't want to just do the simple like Google like incinerator.
It's
what
not
is that thing?
It's not that. It's that she's saying I was never fortunate enough and had enough money to live in a place with a garbage disposal in the sink. I'm just like you, and I don't like that.
I don't want to be a one-upper, but I lived in a shit box that was demolished some years ago that was 850 square feet with no heat and no air and no hope, and we had a garbage disposal. So that can't be your bar.
Yeah.
You can't be your unit of measurement for poor people, because we were poor and we had a garbage disposal because everyone had a garbage disposal. Like, you had a water heater. It was like, it was just an appliance that was in your house.
Yeah.
Poor people had water heaters and rich people had water heaters.
And guess
heaters.
What? I've lived in plenty of places without garbage disposal, but I still know what one is.
Or a dishwasher. You don't walk into someone's house like, what is that?
I'm the dishwasher, and I know what a dishwasher is.
Or if you rent, like, you don't, every time you walk by someone's house and the sprinklers go off, what is this sorcery?
I don't like it.
Right. And also, we were talking about this yesterday. A competition to prove who was poor and who is poor, that it is the antithesis of this nation. Please stop going. I know. Look, it's like woke units. The more woke units I can get, the better chance I'm going to have. So I'm a woman. Okay, here's two woke units. I'm Hispanic. Here's a couple of woke units. I was a victim of incest or molestation or rape. Okay, here's a couple of woke units. I was poor. Here's a couple of woke units. We'll give you more. How poor? I don't know what a garbage disposal is. Okay, here's a few more woke units. Now,
I drive a Range Rover. Ooh, I'm going to need some of those back.
Need some back. Yeah. All right. So you don't believe it, you know?
No, how could one believe that?
Well,
I believe that maybe she never had one.
But you can't identify a garbage disposal?
I would believe that, well, first off, if you can't identify a garbage disposal, you may be the richest person on the planet. Because I don't know that Donald Trump has ever worked on it. He thinks he's ever like, give me the mop handle, Ivanka. God damn it, with the avocado husk.
No eggshells, no coffee grounds.
What the hell's the point of this thing?
I wrote it on a Post-it. I stuck it to the marble backsplash, and but yet, here we go.
No spaghetti, no eggshells, no coffee grounds. I'm going to have to say it.
Where's that goddamn Weird Allen Ranch thing? It came with the thing. I taped it to the side of it when I installed it. Huh. Now it's gone. Fucking drawer with all the tape measures and 4-in-1 screwdriver. Like, he'd never seen one either.
I've worked on and done many
garbage roles. Now,
this can't be a rich man, poor man, because even poor people have seen garbage.
You are right. And so the AOC thing that's a little disingenuous is she may not have had one in her house. That's fine. Who could ever say that's untrue? Although it's possibly untrue. But the part where she says, I don't know what this is, is her trying to get some woke units from you because she had friends. She lived in a society. She certainly went to somebody's apartment at some point. They flipped it on and said, made a noise. Yeah. And she went, what's that? Also, if your plan. So AOC is 29. I wasn't planning on drilling down this, but she's young. And her job is, I got to absorb information, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Palestine, what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And then I have to go on the Sunday morning talk shows. But I'm 29. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm Jenny from the block or whatever. I don't know all this stuff, so I'll do it. And then she goes onto the talk show and she goes, the Six-Day War in 1967, the Egyptians armed the Israelis with F-18s. And it's like, she buttoned up on something so she wouldn't look dumb on these shows, which.
Good plan.
Utterly fine. You could do that with a garbage disposal, I do believe.
In the time it took you to make that video.
Right.
But there's something that she's, it seems like she's trying to be precious about it, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, it's because she's trying to get you to feel a way about something which you should feel that way about her policies, yay or nay, but it's not about the, stop with the upbringing. Stop right. with the where you came from. Okay.
So her,
Larry,
or
here's
Larry.
More. Garbage disposal, incinerator. All right. Alyssa Milano. But see, Larry's a man of great passion as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be an aesthetic that works.
That's a beautiful visage.
Oh, wait. We have Alyssa Milano weeping for her daughter.
She'll be doing this podcast while you travel.
I would rather put in earbuds that just played the sound of a garbage disposal with glass going through it. But I'll play a little, Alyssa.
These are women who are targeted precisely because they are vulnerable. Women whose abusers count on their silence. Well, I thought it was time we heard those stories, too. So on that Sunday, I got into bed with my kids. I watched my daughter sleep. And I wept for her.
Also, the third gate in our triple-gated community was on the fritz. And her duvet cover was actually, well, her backup duvet cover was fine, but her main one was in the laundry. So it was a rough night. She wept.
First of all,
she wept for her daughter.
As much fun as this one is,
she wept.
I think, I don't know AOC, but I think that face of hers right there is going to be the way she looks exactly as every word comes out on that cross-country trip. I couldn't take mouth open, angry and
wide-eyed.
Stupid eyes.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know what? I couldn't take that. I'd like to say to her, well, as Gina put it, do I wish you luck? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Sure. Mm-hmm. Do I wish you great success? Mm. Fine.
Mm.
But no, not in my car. And not cross country, not even a really small country.
Oh, wow.
And plus, I have always, well, just loved Alyssa Milano. I mean, from every part she's had, she's just gorgeous, good actress. And you know what? I could say to her during the stories, and then I wept, okay, you know what? Hey, let's stop for a burger.
Hey, what? What? Wow. That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
Yeah, Larry, look, obviously there are no winners in this equation. It's purely the feminine allure. AOC is 29, 30. Alyssa is going to be 50. I mean, she's getting really close to 50. So this is purely an aesthetic. And I just think you want the 30-year-old hottie rather than the 50-year-old hottie. And you know your move where you're holding the wheel and you do that move where you say to the gal riding shotgun, hey, could you grab the Thomas guy? And she goes, she starts looking through the glove box and you go, it's between my legs. You know that move?
Wait a minute. Let me write that down.
90s move. Thomas guy.
Yeah, the 1890s.
And then she goes, how about Waze? And I go, and you go, how about, no, I don't trust technology, that's what you say. All right, was that 0 for 2?
Yeah, so far. Unfortunately.
I just feel like we're not going to.
You've stacked this against me today, but I don't care.
I think we should just enact a slaughter rule. I'm sorry, Larry.
Sorry, Larry.
I guess I could blame the questions.
No, I don't do it.
I don't do
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Larry. Better luck next time you play the hypothetical road trip game.
I like this new thing of jokes pitched that Adam makes fun of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's Chris's favorite,
unfair to people who write jokes. Guy who breathes through his nostrils.
I think you use the example mailman who delivers parcels for us.
How dare you?
I'd say I'm at my best when I'm verbally abusing employees, right?
I won't disagree with that.
Woman.
No, you're peak Corolla. Peak Corolla.
All right, we have another clip of Unprepared from what is that from?
This from, is from Sacramento? Sacramento, yeah.
Oh, what do we have? The F-18 fighter pilot up there.
Tom was up there.
Oh,
and,
San Diego.
This is not you choosing a ball, but this is you just talking about flying F-18 pilots and what his call sign.
Oh, his call sign.
Yeah.
He's an F-18 pilot. You got to listen to his call sign.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I never asked you, so you speak into the mic, and we'll pull the balls, and what's your sign? What do we call you? Wait, we'll turn that on, sorry. His call sign is what?
Yeah, it's Lou. It's short for Greg Louganis.
Louganis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you want to be named after a gay guy in a speedo.
He's
got AIDS. Yeah, no. No, you scare those guys in the mix, like, I got the AIDS coming for you, bro. Louganis is on your anus. Here I come. Got an uncut sidewinders coming for your tailpipe.
That's funny.
Fucking raw dog, too, man. We're barebacking it. Craig Louganis is who you're named after a gay diver.
Yeah, I'd tell you the story, but you can't.
I'd love to know this fucking story. So who else is in your squadron? Like, oh, well, that guy, we call him Ham. He's named after Dorothy Hamill. Pretty badass group here.
Harvey Milk was my wingman, yeah.
Now, look. Yeah, you want to fly with Lib Liberace, man. We got Ham, Dorothy Hamill. We got Liberace over here. We got Louganis over here. We're fucking pretty tight squat.
Who in a million years could ever, if you had 1 million guesses to the guy's handle, like, you know,
never.
Snowman or Buzzard or Lurch, anything. I mean, anything. Lou.
What was the story?
Lou. All right. So Lou for Louganis. Showed me a scar on his head, I believe, Max Zapata, that looked like it was about 9 inches long, whacked his head jumping into a swimming pool at, I guess, an earlier age.
Yeah.
And didn't end up going like Charles Krauthammer. Right. Charles Krauthammer, I think, was paralyzed that accident. A lot of people had it. Well, he was paralyzed, but he cut his head open. And, of course, famously, Louganis cut his head jumping off like the 10-meter platform and cut and bleed and AIDS and didn't know it. And you know, he knew it, but they didn't know the guy's working on him. And it was scary and a bizarre story. So his handle, a flying handle, was Louganis.
Okay. Well, at least there's a reason. There's a story that makes sense.
If anyone thinks any of these things are cooked, it's impossible. It's impossible. I just thought he was going to give me a name like Deuce or something like that. And I'd go, that's cool. And then we'd go on. He'd pull the ball. But
never saw that
coming. There's something there.
Okay, you got Luganis. You got to keep going.
By the way, after the show, he came up to me. I mean, the guy is an American hero. He's traveled the world. Kids, everything. He said, that joining you on stage, top five moment of his life.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
How about that?
Boy, I got to say, going up in that F-18 Super Hornet would be crack my top three as well.
So nice repayment.
Yeah, we can work something out. All right, let's see. Castrol Edge, that's what I wanted to say. Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight against friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. Oh, right. I'm going to be at the Brea Improv next Friday, Saturday, 17th and 18th, doing Unprepared and doing stand-up as well. I think we do about a half hour stand-up and do 40 minutes of Unprepared. And
is this when Adam's going to be with you?
Adam Ray is going to open for me.
Adam Kroll is kind of prepared.
Yeah. He's going to open for me, and then he's going to come up and pull the ping pong balls. So that's good. Larry Miller, The Larry Miller Show, the podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and LarryMillerPodcast.com. You can go to LarryMillerPodcast.com. You want to check out the website. And also... got some stand-up dates. Well, I know you're going to Hawaii with Bill Maher and Sarah Silverman,
Yep.
Doing the Hawaiian bash.
Nice.
That sounds amazing. I should get Bill Maher back on and ask him if I can hang with him in Hawaii.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm sure he'd be very receptive.
He has feelings about it.
You'd be big celebrities on
All right. And Tony Price, who's a Gold Star activist, we'll talk to him in a second. He's got a book. We'll talk about him riding his motorcycle around the country and all the Gold Star families and all that. Oh, and you, Larry should say hi to Tony out there, because Larry's got a son in the military. Still
That's
in?
Right. Yes. He's
still active?
He's a Marine, and he's on his third deployment now.
Ooh, wow.
And I love that you're proud of that, and I really mean that with all sincerity. I just love that you're the proud father of a Marine. I love that, especially as a comedian.
I'm very proud.
All right, we'll take a quickie break. We'll bring Tony in next.
Thursday, May 16th in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring The Pact. There was a list of protocols we created which would let us know our plan needed to be set in motion. A few different chains of events would trigger them, like natural disasters or social unrest. The day's chain of events let us see the unthinkable was about to happen. The phone network going down, the internet network going offline, and the power grid being lost. As we said goodbye to the nanny, I saw what I had feared was coming from the second the internet radio went out. Paratroopers falling from the sky over downtown Los Angeles. And the planes they were jumping from were not ours. Hear me read a chapter from Robert Patrick Lewis's The Pact. Enjoy a signature Mangria cocktail. Enter to win a pair of JBL 104 studio reference monitors. Visit JBLPro.com and hang out with all the literary fans of The Adam Carolla Show. Thursday, May 16th, 10E, downtown Los Angeles, boozeandbookclub.com. Get The Pact now on Audible and iTunes. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Hey, also, what's up with Judge Judy's hair? People were talking about it, what her fans had to say.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tony Price in studio, author and executive director of the Gold Star Ride Foundation. Tell us about the organization, Tony, and then we'll talk about you.
Well, I love talking about me. Well, let me start with this. Are you aware of what a Gold Star family is? The definition of it? I saw some flags out there. I was kind of hoping you could give me a little backstory on that. But
people, there's Families who've lost a son or daughter in the military?
Yeah, that's the definition of a Gold Star family. So right. the Gold Star family is any immediate family member gets lost in the military. The Gold Star Ride Foundation, which is the organization that I get to steer, takes care of those families.
Mm-hmm.
So we pick up the slack where the government leaves off, and whatever they need and whatever we have to do, because it's in my mind, it's a little bit embarrassing that we should ever have to do anything for them at all.
What does the government provide for Gold Star families? What is the base that they, I don't know, get or you know, whatever?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been in the military. I think I got my discharge about 28 years ago. But the way I remember it is there's a death benefit if, you know, and there's education benefits for the military men and women that don't get killed. But then I believe there's a death benefit for the families.
Financial,
right. So it's a life insurance policy, basically.
Okay.
I don't know this to be true, but I would say in certain countries, if your kid's a terrorist and dies in a pizza parlor blowing himself up with an explosive vest, you get more from the state.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up.
You get a street named after you.
Yeah, that was on my list of things here. That's how they recruit those young kids. They come to them and they say, oh, look, you're living in this wonderful place with a dirt floor, no running water, no electricity. We're going to take care of your family. We're going to put them in a nice place. They'll have high-speed internet. They'll have all the wonderful stuff. And all you have to do is put this vest on and go someplace in public.
It's crazy that I always say it. It's 2019. We're supposed to be hanging around with the Jetsons, like this exploding vest with the dirt floor and go in there and kill a bunch of innocents. It's insane that it's still popular. Still popular.
It's still a thing.
Still a thing. You know, I've seen them. I've seen the pet rock come and go. I've seen the mood ring come and go.
Slinky.
I thought the explosive vest would be on this.
Wait a minute. The mood rock is gone?
Oh.
I have a mood ring.
No. This is a spoiler.
I didn't bring it with me today, but
the mood ring was a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
People wore a mood ring, and it's
heat
like it just turned different colors in and go, oh, that's because I'm feeling amorous. And they're like, you're 9, knock it off. And we're related, please. And I don't know what amorous means. Thank you.
0 for 3.
Well, how about all those weird things at the Shakey's where you'd grab the handle and it's like stud, super stud,
yes.
cold fish. It's like, it's a 9-year-old girl. What? All right, sorry. Sorry, Tony. So explain, you brought a couple of things with you. And by the way, there's a book called Yours Very Sincerely and Respectfully. And that's the book.
It's pretty. It's blue. It has a blue cover.
It and does, you yeah. can
and a gold star right there.
You can get it at, where can we get it? We get it on Amazon?
You can find the paperback or Kindle at Amazon. Mm-hmm. The hardcover, paperback, and ebook, I guess, is also available at our website, goldstarride.org.
So tell me about the ride.
The ride was a lot of fun. Let me kind of go back to the beginning, all right?
Okay.
This was, almost a decade ago. I was hanging out, and some guys came up to me, and there's a whole bunch of motorcycles at this private country club, which is a real common thing, right? 150 motorcycles at a private country club. Anyway, they approached me, and they said, we're going to go on this ride tomorrow. Why don't you come with us? And I said, hey, that sounds like fun. You know, I've been riding motorcycles since I was 9 or something like that. So, yeah, let's go for this ride. We go for this ride, and I'm somewhere in the first third of the pack. There's 125 bikes rolling down the road. And I'm not paying attention where we're going because that's what the leader's job is. He's supposed to pay it. So we're riding for like 45 minutes, and we pull into this residential part of town, and I'm thinking, now, I don't know of any greasy bars that we can go to in this neighborhood. And this is in the northern suburbs of Minneapolis. Anyhow, and then we turn down, he turns into a cul-de-sac, a dead-end street. And we can't even turn around 125 motorcycles on a dead-end street. And we pull in there, and we filled up the street with motorcycles, and it was just amazing to see. And I was looking at the houses, and they're all drawing their shades closed. It's 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're invading a neighborhood. Anyway, when everybody got off their bikes, we go and everybody's standing in the front yard of one house. And we got cigarettes and bandanas and sunglasses and tattoos and leather and the smell of burnt oil and burnt rubber and all this stuff the sound of 125 motorcycles, that'll leave an impression in your memory. Anyway, the leader of the group just pulls this person out of the house, and she's about 24 years old, and she's got an infant and a baby clinging to her leg. And he goes and tells us a story about why we're there. By the way, the guy's name is Rocky Lynn. He's a country singer, country music singer.
the leader of the motorcycle gang.
He was the leader that day.
That day,
and,
yeah.
And he was one of the organizers of that motorcycle ride, which happens the second weekend in September in Minnesota. Anyway, he tells a story about how her husband joined the Army with his best friend that he had since they were both 4 years old together. And they were off in the Middle East, and the best friend stepped on a improvised explosive device and turned into meat soup right there. Her husband then was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. This was some time ago. We still called it a disorder. And he was actually hospitalized in VA hospital here in L.A.
In Westwood?
I don't know if it was in Westwood. I was just told L.A.
That's my grandmother big ones in
worked
Westwood,
for the Westwood VA. Although she wasn't a patriot. She hated every day. Come home every day complaining.
Anyway, 60 days later, they said, that's all we got for you. We do 60 days for post-traumatic stress. So good luck. And your wife is back in Minnesota, but, you know, good luck. And the short story is he lasted on the streets about 5 days. And in those days, it's still common for the government to say suicide is not part of the military pact. However, with post-traumatic stress getting as much... there's so much information out about it now that it's more likely that it would be recognized as part of the military experience. But at that time, it wasn't. So she's got two kids and a high school diploma and nothing to fall back on, and they don't give her anything. No death benefits, no nothing for her. So everybody there wasn't a dry eye in that front yard. You know, if you ever want to see 125 motorcyclists, bikers crying. That's the perfect environment for that. That's what was going on there, myself included.
Or you could spill a beer.
Yeah, that'll
draw tears.
You want to see me cry? I'll clean up after a Christmas party. A whole IPA is just sitting around on the. I like it when it's on the sofa arm. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Coffee table, 8 inches away.
Wow, so,
daring you.
But yeah, see, sorry.
You're reminding me of days when I had to clean up after that stuff, and I would always find 3 cigarette butts in it too. So
yeah,
I know. Nothing like an atrocious smell,
still
right?
Still take a draw off it, but with heavy heart.
So we opened up our wallets and put her back to college, and that gave me the idea. So that was kind of where it all began. And I rode with those guys for about 3 years. And then I went to the organizers of that. And I said, this is a really great thing that we're doing here, but there's more than five Gold Star families in Minnesota that we need to take care of. We need to take care of the whole country.
Right.
And they all burst into laughter. And I wish I could say that it was the last time that people laughed at me when I told them I was going to go on a national motorcycle ride for Gold Star families. But no, I heard the laughter a lot. I had people from all over the country telling me I was just nuts. It was just a ridiculous
idea.
That's
cute and we appreciate it, but move on to something that's doable.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
Have we made some breakthroughs in the post-traumatic stuff like CBD oil or types of therapy or things that I remember seeing my little bits and pieces of talking to Dr. Drew about stuff that works better now than we didn't. I mean, we formerly had nothing. Now we're trying things.
Well, I kind of have to yield that question to you because that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I know
answer
that.
Answer the question, Adam.
I'm going to answer the question.
Do
which
a good
is,
job.
I think there's a protocol, which is like we didn't formally have a concussion protocol. It's like, hey, you got your bell rung. Here's some.
Shake off the cobwebs.
The protocol was smelling salts. Like, clearly, like, here's a shot of smelling salts. Okay. You want to get back in the game? We go back in the game. That's how it worked. It worked that way. They'd snap the smelling salt under you. It's funny. The world's gayest thing is the Amel Popper. The straightest is the smelling salt in the corner of the prize fight. Come on, champ.
But that sort of accomplished the same thing.
Gay guy, straight guy. Yeah. Anyway.
So the medical care was done after the guy woke up.
There was no medical care. You got your bell rung.
Put ice on your head.
We got to get you. We looked at it as. That game where you put your head on the bat and you sprint around the home plate, and then you stagger your way to. But once you fall down a couple of times, but once you get up and you're at the picnic 20 minutes later, we're not trying to fix you. You fixed yourself.
Right.
So your brain got fixed with the smelling salt. We'll put you back in the game.
You shook off the cobwebs.
Right. In the PTSD department, they've realized, you know, whether it's school shootings or whatever's gone on in the military, you got like a window of therapy. Like you have to catch the person when they've been freshly, almost like a physical wound. Like we need to triage this now, or like the physical wound, we don't take care of it now. You're not going to just go on with it. It gets set. It gets worse. We need to reset that bone. So to my understanding, that's what they've done. That's what we've discovered. I'm hoping the military has figured out that after you see your buddy turned into soup next to you, that you need this now, not when you get stateside.
Right. So I can't really comment on the CBDs and the other naturopathic remedies for this kind of stuff. But there was a Medal of Honor winner, and I wish I could remember his name. I can't remember his name. But he became
Tiger Woods.
Different.
Oh, there's a Medal of Freedom.
Oh,
Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he served in the military. But anyway, one of these Medal of Honor winners has been a spokesperson for post-traumatic stress. And he was the person who got us to drop the D. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that it's not a disorder. It's an actual normal circumstance that when you have to experience something extremely traumatic, you're going to have symptoms from that. Mm-hmm. It's not a disorder. It's a natural way of the brain going coping through it.
You're not
mentally
ill because you witnessed something traumatic.
Right. So it's not a disorder. That's why they dropped the D now. So we call it post-traumatic stress. And I wish I could remember that guy's name. But he did manage to win the Medal of Honor, and he's doing a great job of speaking on that particular topic. Incidentally, going back to the motorcycle ride up in Minneapolis with Rocky Lynn, that was the first time I heard him say it wasn't a suicide. It was a sniper's bullet from 7,000 miles away. And I thought that was a perfect analogy. And if you don't mind, I'm going to say two more things on this post-traumatic stress subject. The first one is one of the Gold Star families that I visited was in San Antonio, Texas. And her son, whose name was also Tony, committed suicide. And when I shared that story with her, her feedback to me was that it completely changed her life. She never had a way of coping with the idea that her son took his own life until that analogy, the sniper's bullet from 7,000 miles away, it resonated something very special to her. The other thing I want to...
Hold on. Staff Sergeant Ty Michael Carter.
That might be
that
name.
Sounds right.
Okay.
Great.
Did I do a celebrity race with that guy? That was another guy. I had another hero.
You did Carter Lay.
No, this isn't... Who's the guy? Who's the war hero I did the Toyota Grand Prix with?
Keanu Reeves.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. I just want to get that name. When I can't think of a name, it bothers me, so I'm throwing it out there.
Well, more often than anything else, the post-traumatic stress suicides are ignored by the government more than anything else. So I wanted to make sure that our organization was not going to do that. So if you look at our logo, I don't know if you got one of them in front of you or not. This really colorful logo, right in the middle of it, there's a star. And at the top of that star, there's that really ugly color that doesn't match anything else. And the reason that ugly color is at the top of the star in our logo is because we were told that that's the color for post-traumatic stress awareness. And so we specifically put that color in there because we're not going to ignore – we don't ignore Gold Star families that the government ignores.
All right. Let me take a break, Grant, here. What's the name of that guy? Driving me nuts.
I'm looking.
I think it was the guy from – remember they did the Wahlberg movie about
Lone Survivor?
Yeah, I think it was that guy. I mean, I can't think of it. It was the time when I won in the pro division. I think he was in that group, but I'll figure it out. Super nice guy. Anyway, speaking of cars, Castrol Edge, real quick, stronger under pressure, titanium fluid transforms under pressure three times,
three times, fool,
stronger than leading full synthetic. As per the Kurt Urban test, the 5W30. That's great. Throw some of that in the hog, by the way. All right, Max, let's see. What is that guy's name? I'll buy you a few seconds.
I just looked through the 2015. I couldn't find it.
I don't have 2015. I don't think I did it. Did I do it in 2015?
Yeah.
Oh, the one before that.
You're thinking of Marcus Luttrell.
Marcus Luttrell.
Yeah.
What was
former
his?
Former U.S. Navy SEAL.
Yes.
Received the Navy Cross and Purple Heart.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
It's funny, whether you're that guy or Cain Velasquez from the UFC, still doesn't mean you can drive. It's crazy. All that you do, Can't handle a stick. It's funny that like Cain Velasquez is the slowest guy out there, which is crazy. Like
top athlete.
It's crazy. Uh-huh. It's crazy that it never translates. All right. Lone Survivor is based on him. Wow. Boy, that'd be cool to have a movie about you that way. Except for the part where you had to earn
it. Friends are dead.
That's not the part that would be cool. I want to give Tony Price a plug here. The book, Yours Very Sincerely and Respectfully, that's available on Amazon. And you can bookmark and click us and all that good stuff. And you can check out his very worthy organization, goldstarride.org. Shoot him a tweet at goldstarride. Thank you for the work you're doing, Tony.
I'm glad I could do it.
I'm glad you can do it, too, and the country is grateful for the folks like you who serve and also the folks who come back and continue the good work. Not my grandmother. Mm-hmm. That was just a paycheck. She would have worked at a hemp factory or a brothel or an evil orphanage if they gave her like another 20 cents an hour. So do not mistake her for one of the heroes. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.